Yo, we are the Ill-Advised Wise Guys. It's your boy, we check out my boy, New Feezy, for Sheezy. I ate too much on Thanksgiving, easy, so now I'm big ass QDZ.
Hey. I don't know why you had so many people you could have named that were big, but I see what you did. You didn't want to insult anybody, so you just insulted yourself. I get it.
It's the holiday season. Why would I want to insult anybody? That's effed up.
Happy Thanksgiving out there to everybody who had a wonderful and gluttonous time. We are all the same, yo. Listen, if you got leftovers, feel free to donate. You know, we're here. We can give you guys the P.O. box. Just make sure it's food that tastes good and seal it properly. That's all I ask. You know, that's it. You know. Oh, and by the way, I'm lactose intolerant, so it can't be anything that has real milk in it. Just make sure it's almond milk. That's all I ask. That's it.
You pre-lactose intolerant. What is that? The hell does that even mean?
I don't know. It just sounded cool to say. I don't fucking know.
Are you crazy?
I don't drink real milk. I drink almond milk. That's what it means.
All right. Well, if you say so. Okay. But I will say this. Oh, actually, you know what? Let me ask you. What was on your
thing? Wait. This is episode, hold the thought. This is episode 87.
87.
For those of you guys wondering, shout out to everybody on YouTube. Shout out to everybody on all of the audio podcasting platforms. We appreciate y'all for subscribing, listening. Now let's get back to the shenanigans. What was your question?
Now back to shenanigans. What was on your Thanksgiving plate this year?
Mm. All right. Well, where can I start? So I had turkey. I had white meat and dark meat. I had macaroni and cheese with the oil that was like sizzling on the top. Bruh, my stomach almost exploded in a good way. I don't know how that's a good thing, but it almost exploded.
Please give me that mac and cheese. Please.
Yes, sir.
I'll take 4 boatloads.
I had collard greens. What else did I have? I had I had stuffing, aka dressing for the Southern people in the crowd. I had fish. Had some baked fish. You ever had some halibut? You feel me? Halibut? Fish. What else did I have? I had
Drake.
Fish, and then I had like a bunch of sweets, man. There was a bunch of miscellaneous things. I know I'm forgetting some shit, but it was just a lot on my plate, bro. And I had like 3 plates, including cake and pie.
Wow.
So if you guys see me on the bike trail this weekend, you know what the fuck I'm doing. Listen, I'm working this shit out, man. It's gonna be gone soon. We'll see. What'd you have though?
Yeah, I got a busted ass bike, but I can meet you in the bike trail. Remember, I bought a bike, dog.
I'm
part of the bike club, bro.
I forgot about that.
I'm part of the bike club. I'm coming out there. It's just that we so far apart.
I ride past your neighborhood all the fucking time. Just come outside.
Pull up.
What'd you have,
man? On my plate. So I had turkey, just like you. I had mac and cheese. I had broccoli salad, which I love broccoli salad. Oh my God.
I never even heard of such a concoction.
Oh my God. You never tasted broccoli salad?
Was I supposed to? Why are you saying that like there's something wrong with
you? You are un-American. You are un-American, my friend.
My brother, that is a compliment in 2020. Thank you.
I had potato salad. I had collard greens. I had apple pie. I had corn. I had, what else did I have? Damn. Green beans. I had green beans.
Listen. Hold on. Let's go back to the broccoli salad. That is the most ill-advised dish I've ever heard. What are you talking about? What is a broccoli salad? What is that?
You never had broccoli salad?
Clearly not. I'm asking you to explain why anyone would have a salad where the basis of the salad it seems to be broccoli. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you're gonna be your mind's about to be blown. You know what goes into broccoli salad?
Broccoli.
No, but listen.
Chinese broccolini. Eh?
This is no, no. You're going. It's even crazier. So broccoli salad has broccoli, raisins, sunflower seeds.
I'm already gone. I'm out.
Mayo.
Oh hell bacon, no.
Bacon's in there. Like it's legitimately really good. Like it's very, very, very good. Don't think broccoli. Like you're just thinking. You're thinking that veggie that your parents told you not to eat. It's different.
Now you know what's crazy? Let me
really good.
I'm gonna be real. I actually love broccoli, but broccoli salad, especially after you just named all the ingredients, to me, I gotta see that and taste that to believe it. Because mayo and mayo and anything throws it off of me. I'm not a fan of mayo.
What you talking about? They put mayo in potato salad. What are you talking about?
What's your point? What does that have to do with
me? You are anti-potato salad. I'm calling my shooters.
Nah,
I'm calling shooters to go to your household.
Nah,
wolves will be at your door by 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Nah, I do like potato salad, but just not smothered in a whole bunch of mayo. Just give me a decent amount, please. I'm very particular about mayo in food. Very particular.
You are African. You are so African.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gosh.
No, I did not. I bet you did, though.
I did not, actually. But I will be getting Jell-O.
Where was the plantain? Huh?
Where was the plantain?
Where was the food? Where was the kinkan? The fufu? Huh? Where is the onupu soup? Did you have some of that, too?
Did you start Thanksgiving with the breaking of the cola nut? First you take the cola nut. Everybody just take the cola nut, break the cola nut.
And you break it. You said cut the circuit. Make sure you cut the neck of the turkey, because when you cut the neck of the turkey, the turkey is very sweet. It's very, 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 very sweet. Eh? Sweet now. With cola nut on the side, and with the peanut butter and the yam, the nash.
Yam, that's true.
You know, the yam, oh. You make sure you did.
Do not forget the yam, oh. Ew. Now, wow.
Hey! Praise be to God for Thanksgiving. Anyway, back to regular scheduled programming. Listen, we don't know what the hell y'all had, but hey, if you get inspired, let us know what you guys had for a Thanksgiving meal. Just make sure it didn't have a lot of mayo in it, or we can't speak anymore. Just saying. Other than that, though, man, what you been up to?
You know, chilling, man. Like, I feel like this holiday was a very weird one. You know, you don't get to see as many people as you wish. But then at the same time, it was a relaxing one. I finally got some time to relax, kick back. I was in Iowa the last week. I was in St. Louis the last week, the dirty. It's funny because St. Louis is not even that dirty. So I don't know what Nelly was talking about. Talking about dirty ENT. St. Louis is actually a very nice, clean city. And, you know, there's not that many lunatics on the streets. So where did he get St. Lunatics from? So I was in these great Midwest places and I had myself a blast.
That's good. That's good, man. It's nice to get away, especially... especially with family, though, man. Like, that was your first time in St. Louis, though, right? So
I'm in St. Louis.
Nah, that's dope, man. You get to get a little discovery time, find some new spots, you know, stay away from the crazy people in the Midwest. Hey, the Midwest is where they have people walk to Walmart and 7-Eleven with guns in their hands.
You are statist, not racist, statist.
That's hey, man.
Status comment, because that doesn't happen. At least
stay woke. You know good and damn well you saw somebody. If you didn't see it, there was somebody you didn't notice with a firearm in their hand walking around like it's normal. That's what happens in the Midwest. Perhaps, what are you talking about?
Perhaps or right. Probably not. I did do Topgolf. I didn't see any guns there, but
oh.
I did Topgolf there.
No oh, guns. Nice.
Yeah, Topgolf was dope.
Nah, that's tight. For me, though, I was just at the crib, man. Hosted family shit, you know? Get some good food. Watch some movies. I did watch that Kevin Hart special, which I know that's not a topic on our show, but It wasn't that funny though, man. Kevin Hart, that special, you know, the one where he, did you see it? You know what I'm talking about?
I heard about it, but I didn't watch it yet.
It's called Don't Give Two Fucks or Two Fucks Not Give. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it wasn't that good. I did like his presentation. He was wearing pajamas, this fitted pajama outfit, which was dope. But the jokes was just not hitting, bruh. It just wasn't hitting like that.
I think he's...
I digress.
He's not as funny as he used to be. Like,
yeah, what is that about, man? I've been trying to figure out, like, why he is more funny in interviews and in like, regular improv-type situations versus the stand-up stuff. He's way more funny. Like, he's actually hilarious
in
interviews and improv versus stand-up. What is going on with this guy?
Yeah, I think he's still a funny person, but like his stand-ups, because even the one before this one I felt like didn't hit like I thought it would. But I don't know. Dave Chappelle is still reigning supreme in my opinion. He's still probably the funniest person on stand-up that I can think of.
Dave Chappelle is the man. They ain't come here for no Dave Chappelle, so let's jump into the damn music topics, shall we?
I think so.
Even though Dave Chappelle is a legend and a GOAT and the modern day Socrates, Aristotle, whatever philosopher you want to freaking throw in. I believe Dave Chappelle's a great. But anyway, y'all ain't come here for that. So let's get to the... He's a modern day philosopher.
You are tripping today.
That's a fact.
You are taking drugs, the likes of we've never seen before with your takes today.
Hey man, I speak facts. That's all I do. I don't do anything other than that.
All right.
Shall we move on to the actual show, sir? Can we do that?
I think so.
All right, let's do that. So, man, this is one of my favorite topics to get into, at least on this show, specifically for this episode, because you and I, we've been going back and forth about this topic for the longest, and it is the Grammys and the importance of the Grammys and why artists seem to be tripping about the Grammy nods and who is nominated, who is not nominated. I think this is a perfect opportunity to touch on that subject because the Grammy nominations for 2021 was announced, and you better believe there were a lot of people who were unhappy. And I ain't talking about D Smoke fans. I am talking about people who the culture felt like should have been recognized for the Grammys, seem to have been left out for whatever reason. I wanted to talk about that with you, man, because, you know, outside of the obvious people, which we'll get into in a little bit, like, let's actually talk about why people care about the Grammys so much, like, are these artists, and whether or not there can ever be a platform that can be run independently of the Grammys that will ever mean as much or even close to as much as the Grammys seem to do for artists. What's your take on, you know, the Grammys in general, and then also some of the people who you maybe felt should have been on the Grammy nomination list that were not on the Grammy nomination list? And by the way, I ain't talking about no country music, so I'm going to be very clear. We are a centrally rap, hip-hop, R&B show, and we're going to be sticking to those specifically for this particular review. But go ahead, bro.
We ain't talking about Blake Shelton.
I ain't got time for no Beck. I ain't got time for Billie Eilish. Nah, man, I'm cool.
What? Okay, so you know, honestly, I think people really started to question the Grammys when they had the nerve to say that Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's that album that they had. I think it's The Heist. Is that what it's called?
No, I believe it was The Heist. It might have been the one right after, but I'm pretty sure it was The Heist. Let me look that up.
They had the nerve to say that album was better than Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City album. So I actually like Macklemore. I don't think that album is bad, but when you make such a monumental mistake, a mistake that everybody as clear as day can tell that Good Kid, Mad City is the best album, and it ends up going to Macklemore, people start to open their eyes up. And each year they've made some type of mistake like that. And not colossal like that one, but mistake after mistake after mistake. And now it's gotten to a point where you can't make any more mistakes. You guys are, we're already on thin ice. So what that tells me, there's a disconnect between the people that are in the Grammy committee and the people that listen to hip hop music on a daily basis. I don't think they understand like what is actually like good music in hip hop anymore. I think what the Grammys try to do is they try to be like, yo, we know music more than you guys. So we're going to go and pick somebody random as hell to say they have the album of the year just to prove a point that like we know music more than the average consumer. It's almost like music, hip hop music in particular, people are ashamed of mainstream. There's nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to mainstream music. Music is good if it's good. Like, I'm tired of this whole thing of like somebody knows more about music. Underground music is the real hip hop. Boom bap rap is the real hip hop. That's what should be getting credit. No, good music is good music. And to me, the Grammy committee has just not been able to understand that notion. And I think that's the problem that they're having right now.
Yeah. So with that, nah, that's facts. And with that, let's get into some of these nominations, man. Best rap album, we got D-Smoke with Bad Habits. I actually remember that album. I remember, on Raiden's Game Music, didn't Coe do that?
Coe did it.
Am I tripping? Coe did that, right? I believe she gave it an A. So listen, and I heard it too. So I'm not even sitting here saying the album was trash. Like the album was really, really good. This is, I think the biggest thing, and this needs to be said too, because I don't see a lot of people saying this enough. You know, when you have a difference of opinion as far as who should be on the Grammy nomination list, yes, it takes away from the people who were nominated, but it doesn't mean the things that we don't believe should be there is trash by any means. You know, it's just more so us saying, or at least I'm speaking for myself, me saying there is something that was better, more commercially successful. It touched the culture more. It deserves more recognition than the things that were presented to the Grammys and presented to the people. So with D-Smoke being nominated for Best Rap Album of the Year, huh? Yo, listen. Let me get into some album. You know what? Okay, before I get into that, let me just read the list. For those of you guys who are not familiar, we got Freddie Gibbs and The Alchemist with their joint album called Alfredo, dope ass project. I'm a fan of that. J Electronica, A Written Testimony. You and IQ, we talked about that album at length a while ago. Y'all can go back and listen to our review of that. I'll give you guys the episode link. The episode number of which one we talked about that. King's Disease by Nas. And then The Allegory by Royce da 5'9". Listen, you'll get no argument from me. I think every album on there was a great album this year. It was either really good to great. However, here are some albums that I believe should actually have been listed for Best Rap Album of the year. Number one, Roddy Ricch. Now, I know what people are going to say, the Grammy committee. Oh, but we want to put him in melody, progressive rap, whatever the hell you guys call what Roddy Ricch does, because he's not a traditional rapper. If you notice, everybody on that list, with the exception of D-Smoke, who is a singer, and he even speaks Spanish. Can you believe that? Like, he speaks fluent Spanish. Incredible performance he put up on that album. However, I believe the performance that Roddy Ricch did and had on Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial, number one, was more commercially successful, and it was just better. Like, it hit the culture better. How the hell are we going to ignore and act like Roddy Ricch didn't drop an incredible debut album? I digress. That's one. would you agree with that, or you got any? You disagree? We can go down the list.
I agree. It was also very successful.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did really good on the Billboard charts. That means something.
Hell yeah. And while Roddy Ricch seemed to have been acknowledged for some of his songs, like The Box, he got a lot of love on the Grammys for that, the nominations, which, I mean, that's no surprise. But I just felt like Pop Smoke, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon, Lil Uzi Vert, Eternal A Take, Lil Baby, My Turn. Some of those four albums to me deserved more recognition, in my opinion, than Bad Habits by D Smoke. And I would even take out A Written Testimony by Jay Electronica. It's not me taking shots at him per se, but I just don't believe the album should be Grammy nominated as Best Rap Album of the Year. I think where we have gotten to with the Grammys, it seems like these people on the board seem to have an agenda to wanna highlight and prop up people who are traditional hip hop. Remember, you and I, Q, we talked about this last episode and how traditional artists don't really like the success of alternative hip hop and some of the new school guys, right? And I think this is kind of in that vein. You know, it seems like the industry, the powers that be, quote unquote, don't seem to be comfortable with giving credit where credit is due to some of the new school guys. But I just think it's crazy to me how those albums went unnoticed. You say what to that?
I agree 100%. I mean, if you look down the line, every one of those people are lyricists. Like D Smoke's a lyricist, Freddie Gibbs a lyricist, Jay Electronica a lyricist. Like there was no love for that melodic rapper, but then at the end of the day, melodic rap is what's dominating. So like I said, it just goes back to the whole like feeling of what do you think real hip hop is? And I get it. Like if you were just trying to nominate one person, okay, I get it. You pick one person, but give some variety. Like hip hop is not one dimensional. If you're gonna give two, three lyrics this opportunity, give somebody that does melodic rap an opportunity. Like, you know, that's why one of the proudest moments, in my opinion, in Grammy's history was seeing Trap Queen on there, like a couple years back. Like Trap Queen absolutely deserved to be nominated for Grammy. Even though a lot of people are going to say, oh, yeah, that's stupid rap or that's brain dead rap. Like, at the end of the day, it's not about what you want. It's about you noticing as a Grammy committee what's good, what's impactful, what's pretty much revolutionary in terms of hip hop. And to me, those albums are all good. But when you look back in retrospect, they're not revolutionary albums. They're just really good rap albums. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It didn't change anything. But if you would have gave Lil Uzi Vert a Grammy or like nominated him for a Grammy, you're recognizing where rap is going. And 10 years from now, it's going to look better that you actually had that as a nominee. It's going to look, you can't be looking backwards. You got to be looking forward also. And to me, the Grammys is the highest level of music award. And if you're going to be the highest level of music award, you got to be more responsible than that, in my opinion.
Yeah. And to cap this all, because I do want to move on. You know, I want to point out that The Weeknd, who dropped an album, which was incredibly well performing this year, called After Hours, was nowhere near the list this year for R&B, for alternative, for anything. He was not mentioned. And Drake, some of your favorite artists seem to be coming out every single day. And by the way, Drake has won Grammy. So this is not somebody who's never won a Grammy feeling salty. He even went up on the stage and said, yo, this Grammy don't mean anything. Like, it doesn't mean anything. I don't understand why we put too much emphasis on this particular award. However, The Weeknd was snubbed. I think that's egregious. I think it makes no sense. everybody's coming out, man. So I think ultimately, man, we got to figure out, are we still going to support the Grammys? Like, and bigger than that, how have we given this amount of power to the Grammys where they can make the emotions of these artists just get distorted and just taken aback? You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems to be a very emotional hit. I mean, look at somebody like Wale, who's been seemingly in his entire career aiming to get a Grammy. I've heard him in interviews like, yo, man, I want a Grammy. And he refuses to be acknowledged by the Grammy board. You can argue whether that's right or wrong. But to me, that puts you in the mind of the artist. They seem to want that prize. However, the people who are rewarding them don't get it. Period. They don't get it.
Maybe what they need to do is make a new genre, like, that they recognize. Like, rap it's too dynamic to just say rap. Like, you need something like maybe melodic rap, maybe, I don't know, alternative rap, progressive rap, like we discussed last episode. You got to come up with something else, because way too many people are getting snubbed. I get it. I get their way of thinking, because if you think about it, like, some of these albums are very high quality, I know. But too many people are getting snubbed that actually put out really good bodies of work. But I will say this, just to close out, one last thing.
Right.
I'm glad they just did not put Eminem as a nominee. I feel like every single time Eminem comes out with an album, they put him as a nominee. Eminem's albums have been horrible.
Well, you know why. They
put him as a nominee.
You know why he's on the nominee list.
I'm glad they learned, because Eminem was eligible to be a nominee. He did not make it with his Music to Be Murdered By. So they're learning a little bit, but they still got a long way to go.
We'll call that learning. We're going to close that topic out. Let's move on, man. If you guys want the full list of Grammy nominees, just go Google it and be upset, because it'll probably make you mad. Let's move on. Yo, let's talk about Gucci Mane and Jeezy. Wow. I never thought I would see the day when Gucci Mane and Jeezy would reunite, if you will, and have any type of interaction, especially publicly. Never thought I would see that. But they recently faced off on the Versus Battle series, and they duked it out. They went at it. Yo, hey, can we be real for a second? At what point in the battle did you become nervous? Was it before, during, or after the battle? What point were you nervous as hell? Because I'm going to be real. For me, I was nervous when they put the flyers up. Dude, when the flyers went up, I said, no, there's no way they're going to be in the same room. I don't believe it. They're going to do this through Zoom. If they're in the same room, it's going to be hella security. I will say the battle exceeded my expectations. 100%. My expectations. I was scared as shit. I was scared shitless.
I was very nervous, and the nerves did not go away ever. Like, while the battle was going on, the nerves still didn't go away. When all the craziness started happening within the battle, my nerves still didn't go away. I was sure somebody was gonna go on the other side and punch each one of each. Somebody was gonna leave that little damn divider that they had and punch someone. I am glad violence didn't happen. We got enough of that. But I mean, it was dope as hell, man. Like, the whole idea behind it, especially given this year, the craziness that's happened this year, we needed that, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Thanks. No, but you know what though? I think, and we all know, we saw the battle, we heard the songs, we lived those moments. If you're old enough, you remember the times where these two gentlemen was out here lighting the streets up. Jeezy was the one getting banned from schools, talking about y'all, you couldn't wear snowman shirts. Gucci Mane was hitting the streets with the real street people, like he had that on lock. But if we take this a different route, you know, with this battle, to me, there were two things that I learned from this battle. One, and this is probably the most obvious one, was that both of these dudes deserve credit for even getting up there. Because if you have heard the stories from both of these guys as far as why they are beefing where they've been beefing for over 15 to 20 years in the first place, you will understand why the beef exists. Supposedly, Gucci Mane was attacked by one of Jeezy's people. And if you guys remember, Gucci Mane ended up going to jail because he actually murdered somebody off a self-defense charge, which at the time, everybody gave Gucci a whole lot of credit for standing up for himself and all of that. But over the years, it's always been very murky as far as like why these two were beefing. Did Jeezy really have something to do with this? You know, and so hearing Gucci, even at the Versus battle, still maintain this narrative that Jeezy had something to do with the guy who tried to kill him, it just made it so real to me. And so I at that point, I had to be like, damn. Even though I recognize that Jeezy is trying to be the bigger person, right? He's trying to be the bigger person, and we got to give him credit for that. I actually am not mad at Gucci, man, for feeling so upset still. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was antagonizing him all throughout the battle, and it's like, damn, yo, like, if somebody tried to come for your life and you feel like the person that you had to defend yourself and kill was a partner or is affiliated with somebody that you had beef with 15, 20 years ago, hey, I might be upset still too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. That was the other thing that I realized about this battle was like, damn, yo, people be holding on to grudges for so fucking long, but some grudges is different than others. If somebody comes for your life, that's a whole nother type of grudge. If somebody stole your damn candy back in grade school.
I was going to say, like, to me, I had to constantly remind myself just that. Like, when I'm like, yo, Gucci's kind of aggressive. Gucci's being the aggressor. Gucci's being a little more disrespectful than Jeezy's being. And I had to remind myself, like, yo, this dude, you throughout the years have been accusing him of hiring somebody to kill you. Like, to me, I don't think you confront that situation very lightly. Like, this is my one opportunity to kind of, and this, remember guys, it's a battle, right? And I also think that Gucci Mane, he did that to make sure his homies know, I didn't hold back. Like, this isn't no like buddy-buddy thing. This is a battle. I didn't hold back. I didn't let this dude just do whatever he wanted. I actually told him. But even though it was, you know, somebody died in this whole situation, you know, so, you know, the whole part where he was kind of like talking about he buried his homie, I was like, God, like I was actually speechless. There's only been a few times in this year that I've been speechless. I was legit speechless. Like, when I heard that, and he was talking about, damn, smoked such packs. I was like, yo, bro. But I get it.
Yo, when I think the moment you're talking about, at least, there were several moments for me, but that one moment, the one that really got me was when Gucci was just going at him, and then it almost felt like Jeezy had enough, and he was just like, dog. He was like, yo, we've been through a whole lot. And he gave a little speech, right? He was like, yo, we've been through a whole lot. He was like, man, it's been 15, 20 years, right? And Gucci corrected him, maybe 15 years. It's like, dog, like, why are you they seem to be at odds as whether it was 15 or 20 years. I noticed that. I noticed the small things in the battle. It was almost like that was a pride thing, but whatever. But Jeezy was over here trying to tell Gucci, man, yo, man, it's bigger than me and you. He's like, yo, look at what just happened to King Von. Look at what just happened to Boosie. Look at what, like, somebody shot Boosie. Look at what happened to Mo 3 in Texas. The dude that signed to Boosie got shot and killed. Pop Smoke. He was trying to remind Gucci, man, that the battle, the beef between, you know, them two dudes was minuscule in the overarching grand scheme of what hip-hop and rap has meant to people. Historically, and even up till now, man, you've seen people die, and it's being reflected in the music. I thought that was a real grown-up moment for Jeezy, that he's shown in that. But again, like I said, after the battle, I was like, damn, I understand why Gucci was going at him like that. Like, I would probably feel the same way. I'm gonna be real with you. Like, it takes a lot for both of them dudes to even get up there in the first place. And then for them to leave with the So Icy record and do that together, I thought that was big for both of them dudes. You could tell they both were happy. If you just watched it, they just seemed to be enjoying themselves, man. You know what I'm saying?
It was like a burden.
That was a moment.
Burden was lifted. Because remember, it's one of the weirdest stories in hip-hop history, if you really think about it. Like, I remember, I'm old enough to remember, guys, when that song was out and that song was popular. And to think that it was never performed for like the last 15, 20 years until that day. And what makes their story even weirder is they both came out, both brand new artists, both became legends in hip hop, both legends. And they were always at odds, and you always had to pick between the two who you wanted to like roll with. Both legends. And at the time, you don't know. And So Icy came out, you didn't know. Matter of fact, I thought Boo was going to be the legend, the person that was singing the hook. I was like, that's the person that has a future. The person singing, these heads inside. What happened to him? Where was he? I thought that was going to be a legend when it first came out, because that was the catchiest part. But yeah.
So I mean, I said, history. Come on, that shit was hot.
I'm not going to lie. Like, Gucci Mane and Jeezy were both at their primes when we were trying to grow up as men. So like a lot of the songs that they were playing struck a chord with me. Same thing with Gucci, like Jeezy's struck a chord with me more. That's why I'm gonna say I think Jeezy won that battle, but like Gucci Mane struck a chord with me too. And like to think that it came full circle and they went back to where they started, man, this was one of the biggest moments in hip hop history. Nobody wants to say it.
No, it really is.
People are scared to say stuff like that. This is easily, especially for me, one of the biggest moments in hip hop history. Real talk.
No, that's well said. And I'm gonna be real with you, man. Depending on how you looked at this battle will determine who you actually believe won the battle. If we judging this straight off of music and musical impact and whose songs hit harder, right? Whose songs were more charting, which ones were more recognizable? I'll be real with you. I'm going Jeezy all day. Like, it's not even close to me. I think he dominated musically, and that's my opinion. But we're not from Atlanta. There's a lot of people who might disagree with that, and that's cool. But if I'm looking at this not through the music lens, and I'm looking at this off of just mano y mano street lens that I don't live, the fact that Gucci Mane was even standing there talking crazy like he was talking to Jeezy, the music didn't even mean it. The music was secondary. Like, that was like an add-on to me. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends on how you looked at it, you know? How you viewed who won to me. But again, the verses is supposed to be about music, so I'm going Jeezy easily. Like, I mean, it's about Jeezy won.
I thought Jeezy won all around. I thought Jeezy won when it came to music. Jeezy won when it came to bravado. Like, he just came in there like, I'm a boss. Like, he almost treated Gucci Mane like a peasant. Like, look at this peasant that I'm willing to work with. Not that he is a peasant, or not that he thought that he is a peasant or anything like that. It just seemed like he felt like, I'm the king. Like, come on, man. This is no competition. Like, I'm doing you a favor that I'm doing his verses. That was kind of how Jeezy approached it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Was dope. Like, that's a great mentality. I thought Gucci Mane won just because, like you said, the fact that he was there, that's a win for Gucci Mane already. Like, the fact that you are willing to, like, battle this dude and be yourself.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like not a single second did he feel like a sucker to me. Not a single second. I was like, when they had the flyers out and stuff like that, I was like, this is a moment where one of them could look like a sucker. Like, somebody can end up looking like a sucker in this situation. Not a single moment did I think Gucci looked like a sucker. That's a win to me.
Yeah. Man, shout out to yo. This, to me, the Versus has had a couple moments this pandemic where I really felt like, damn, yo, they see this is the impact that they can have. That one with Jeezy and Gucci, by far, tops the list. To me, the one before that was DMX and Snoop. I swear that shit hit. That was a moment to me. But anyway, you guys let us know what you think about the Versus.
Having moments. DMX cannot go a day without having a moment.
No, that DMX one was epic. I'm telling you, man. That shit was so good. Man,
just to let you know, I stopped watching Dateline and watched that. I actually watched that Versus. That is the only Versus that I actually watched. Believe it or not.
You snapped out of your ridiculous trance you've been in, because now you're here where you're supposed to be.
No, I'm out. I'm not watching another Versus. You did over here talking about Patti LaBelle and, I'm out. About to do no.
I'm not doing that. Hell no, dude. I didn't even watch Brandy and Monica. Hell no.
That was millions. Millions upon millions of people, and I didn't watch it.
Yo, let's move on, man. You want to kick this next one off?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, we can. Once I turn on my laptop. You got
Megan. It's Megan Thee Stallion, sir.
Megan Thee Stallion. Good news dropped. What do you think of the album, my brother? I know you supposedly have a rant that you want to do.
Nah, man. Come on, man.
I need to get my popcorn out. Where's my popcorn?
Ah, man. Don't oversell it like that, man. Listen, I'm just here to talk to the people. That's all. I'm just chilling, you know? I'm just here to speak truth to power. It's always respectful. I say that respectfully. It's always respectful, man. Listen, I leave with love because, listen, man, you know, as everybody knows, we obviously don't know what happened to Megan Thee Stallion. She's been going through a whole lot in her real life. I believe, at least that's what she would lead us to believe. And I have no reason to doubt that, right? Like she's somebody who is at the forefront of rap to me. That's how I look at her right now. She has all of the sponsorship. She has all of the backing. She is aligned with Beyonce. She got a whole song called Savage with Beyonce, which was, by the way, I didn't mention this, was nominated for a Grammy like 3 times. So it's clear to me that people believe that she is that next superstar. However, I just feel like the album that she just dropped called Bad News. And that was not a joke. Good News was bad.
That was comedic genius right there.
No, that was actually an accident. That was
comedic genius right there.
That was an accident, I promise you. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to figure out where to start with this album because I've been listening to the landscape. I've been surveying the landscape. Because, you know, listen, we do a show here where we talk about music all day, every day. We review albums, you know, and sometimes our reviews, in my opinion, at least I'll speak for myself, but I can definitely feel like I can speak for you. Sometimes you're a little early on your take. Sometimes I feel like, damn, you know what? Let me go back to the drawing board. Maybe I missed something, you know? Like, damn, was I tripping? With this album, I heard it about twice, and I just don't feel like it's a quality album. Like, the music does not hit. And while I know a lot of people feel like, damn, but Megan Thee Stallion, she don't make music for dudes. So how could you, as a guy, even evaluate her music properly? That's I've been seeing a lot of that online. I've been seeing a lot of people saying that, like, oh, you just don't get it. Bro, did we not get it when Cardi B dropped an album? Did we not get it when the City Girls dropped an album? Dude, we came on this podcast, if you guys have been keeping up with us, City Girls dropped City on Lock. And while they are the most ratchet of the ratchet, content-wise, in terms of what they talk about, you know, I give it up, man. Like, I was quick to be like, yo, man, City Girls did their thing on that album. That was actually a good album to me. Like, it was good. For what they do, I would say that's a good album. to me, for what Megan Thee Stallion does, it was not a good album. It lacked originality. It lacked depth. The songs seemed empty. Even a lot of the samples, like, even let's talk about the intro, man. Shots Fired, when she was going at Tory Lanez, the guy that the industry seems to want to cancel but can't seem to necessarily get rid of, per se. I even think that song was weak. Like, it just all around, I just didn't feel like the music was very strong on that album. And let me be clear, I love the song with SZA called Freaky Girls. I think that song's pretty good. I love the song with the City Girls on it. I think it's pretty good. I hate the song called Intercourse with Pop Smoke. I'm sorry, not Pop Smoke, Popcorn. The album just lacked a lot to me. And so I'm trying to be respectful. But I will just say that this album was bad. It was bad. And if I'm rating this respectfully, I am giving this album no more than an average grade. This album is a C at best. At best. And that's all I got to say, man. I could say more, but I'm going to leave it at that. And we can debate back and forth. But I want to know what you got to say.
That was not that bad a rant. That was not as ill-advised.
I'm trying to be respectful, man. Damn.
This is ill-advised wise guys, not respectful wise guys. Go and talk your ish.
Okay. Let me say, come on, man.
That was way too PG. I know you got more.
I'm glad you're egging me on right now. Let's get it, man.
Thank you.
This album is trash. It's trash.
Okay. Well,
if I was a weed smoker, I'm smoking Reggie. This album is Reggie.
Wow.
It's Reggie. This ain't no Kush. This ain't the highest of that. No, no, no. This is Reggie. This is that bullshit that people got in the corner when they just want to throw something on. This album is trash. Let's be real, man. And I've been watching people being very delicate because, again, we have to be very delicate because Megan Thee Stallion has been through a lot this year, right? She was shot. She lost a whole bunch of friends behind that situation. We still don't know the real truth behind what really happened. But to me, I'm putting her real life aside from the music. And I'm just judging the music because I don't necessarily know what's true and what's not with everything else. I believe this album is trash. That's my real take. Now go ahead and try to convince me why it's not trash.
Okay. All right. Well, let me speak on behalf of, just to piss you off. I know what makes you mad. I know what makes you mad. I'm just going to make you a little madder, okay?
Please.
Did you know that this is Megan Thee Stallion's debut album? Number one.
I did know how they were marketing it. It's not her debut album. She clearly came out with like three projects.
That's number one.
My bad. Sorry. Those were mixtapes. Sorry. Go ahead.
That was number one. That's her debut album. Number two, this will make you mad for several reasons. I'm looking at her Wikipedia, right? Critical reception, which we were on, right? Ratings Game was on as one that graded, you know, Megan Thee Stallion's album. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 people they have on there that reviewed it. Do you know the average grade is a B+ of that album?
That's foolishness.
Nobody gave it lower than a B. Nobody. Out of those 12. Matter of fact, somebody gave it 10 out of 10. I believe the British music site GigWise gave it 10 out of 10. What they said, what most people were saying was, they love how confident she is. They love how she's just exploratory when it comes to money, sex. She's not scared to talk about some of the things that us regular human beings are scared to talk about. So that's kind of what people feel about the album. I, for one, personally, which we all do this, right? We all do this. is not my cup of tea. That's what I'm going to say.
We got to stop that. We got to stop that. That's too PC. Don't be PC. See, you're doing what the people are doing when they want to skate out of giving a real review on a project. That's what you're doing.
I am one of the people that are not on that list. I gave it a C. They removed me.
Sure. I wonder why they removed you.
The grade you say it's Illuminati. I say it's Meganati. They removed me. They removed us. Ratings game. We're no longer one of those 12. But I gave it a C. It's not my cup of tea. But the thing is, here's the thing that I didn't hear from you, and I'm going to need an answer from you. Why? You pointed to, you know, a couple of things, but I didn't really hear why you think it's an average album. I'm going to tell you exactly why I think it's an average album, but I'm going to tell you why I think people think it's a good album. So to me, I just thought that, you know, we talked about Ty Dolla $ign a couple episodes ago, right?
Fam, I told you why. What are you talking about? I didn't give a deep dive.
I want to go deep. Man, this is Illuminati's WhatsApp. We go deeper.
Yo, let's do it. Let's do it.
Musicality, deeper. So
let's do it.
To me, Megan Thee Stallion's music. We talked about Ty Dolla $ign 2 episodes ago. What I said about Ty Dolla $ign is that he makes gimmicky music, but he's really good at making gimmicky music. I think Megan Thee Stallion makes gimmicky music, but she's not great at making gimmicky music. Like, Ty Dolla $ign is a great singer. He has great melodies. Ty Dolla $ign just kind of, you know, understands how to put together a complete record. I think Megan Thee Stallion knows how to make a record hotter. I think Megan Thee Stallion knows how to make a song a lot more provocative, make it sound a lot more explosive. But I'm not exactly sure what I heard, a good chunk of the songs that I heard on the album were, could be considered like good. Are they gimmicky? Yes. But I wouldn't necessarily say they're complete records. And it could be just because she's just a rapper. She doesn't really sing much. It could be that she kind of sounds the same from song to song. Yeah. But I wouldn't necessarily say it's gimmicky music, because think about it. A lot of the beats were recycled beats from 90s and 2000s. And you it's almost like you are told that you're supposed to like this song before you even listen to it. Just based off the beat. Just based off of how explosive she sounds. I am somebody that listens to songs complete. And I dissect it. And what I dissected is just gimmicky music that's average. Gimmicky is not a bad word. Gimmicky just means it's what people want to hear. But then is it good? I don't think it's great. But however, I do think people see the album, the people that see it as good, they probably view just her, those things, like I said, the confidence, it's great. Her energy is great. Her ability to make a club hit, something that people in the club would like, is great. And then people, I think, really just like her. So when you combine those things together, I understand why you would like the album, because you like her. I don't think it's the music you like. You just like her personality. I don't think that's enough to call something good.
So I feel you. I feel where you're coming from. You know, I think you're still being a little too safe. You're telling me I'm being safe. You're being a little too safe. I feel like you're saying what you kind of saying what you want to say, but you ain't really saying it. So let me go a step further, but I'm gonna be more clear this time. I feel like Megan Thee Stallion is extremely one-dimensional as an artist. And listen, that is not always an insult. Matter of fact, I am actually not even meaning that as an insult. This is just me coming to the conclusion and recognizing after her putting out multiple bodies of work, I don't care if this is the debut, quote unquote, I listen to the music, you know? I understand she may not make music for me per se, and I get that. I respect that actually. You know, listen, that is a real thing. So I acknowledge that, but I take it a step further and say, like I brought up before, we don't say that about Cardi B. We don't say that about Nicki Minaj. We don't say that about, we didn't even say that about the City Girls when they have the same, if not a little bit even more ratchet content than Megan Thee Stallion some of the time. We evaluated the album because it's music. I understand she's talking about these things that I can't relate to at all. Like she got a song with the City Girls talking about dancing on the tip or do it on the tip. Come on, like, what you want me to do with that song? Like, only thing I can do is wait for a girl, well, my fiance now, to start dancing and she start, I'm like, yes, woo, this is that twerking song, let's get it. I'm sitting up against the wall and we chilling. She's having a good time to the energy of the song. So I get how music cannot necessarily be made for me or guys in general. I get that. I just feel like we don't do that with everybody. We don't use that same excuse with everybody. And it's interesting to me how we are very picky and choosy with who we choose to apply that type of evaluation to. It's interesting to me. I see when people do it and I see when people don't. And I think, like you said, it has to do with when you like the person. When you like the person, you copping mad please. I just feel like people are copping please right now for Megan Thee Stallion and not necessarily evaluating her music like it should be evaluated, especially because if we talk about how the star that we believe she is and how people look at her as, right? She getting nominated for Grammys, getting all of these different looks over here, writing articles for the New York Times, talking about Protect Black Women, which is a dope article. Has nothing to do with this album, but look at the type of things she's doing. She's a star, right? I feel like the music is not matching who she is being propped up to be. And I'm not even the type of person that throws in numbers all the time, but I'm gonna do it right now. For Megan Thee Stallion to only sell 92,000 copies in the first week, to me, that's pretty low for a Megan Thee Stallion. I would expect a little bit more from that. To me, again, I'm not a numbers guy at all. I actually try to stay away from that conversation. But when it pokes out to me like this, I gotta take it into consideration to say, okay, all these publications are giving it A's and B's, right? It's critically acclaimed, right? Then why is it not streaming well as a star should be streaming? Why is that? Those are the people listening, right? It's fishy, dog. It's fishy. I feel like Megan Thee Stallion, and I'm going a little deep with this, so you can pick this up wherever you want. But I just feel like I noticed that the public doesn't necessarily evaluate Megan Thee Stallion and her music like they do with everybody else. They're quick to evaluate another female artist's music. But with Megan Thee Stallion, it's a little different. And maybe it has to do with all the things she's been through this year. I don't know. I'm speculating, obviously. But I just noticed these different things. It's interesting to me. It's interesting. These are just observations. The music is not matching up to her brand, bro.
She gave you what you wanted from her. If you want to talk about the artist actually pleasing the consumer, I think she gets an A when it comes to that. She did not step far outside of her box on that album at all. Same thing with City Girls. Like, City Girls, people bashed the hell out of that City Girls album. I liked it. They just gave us what they do well. So I'm not prepared to say Megan Thee Stallion's album is bad. I'm not prepared to say she's trash or anything like that. I actually think she gave us what she wanted. But I do not think that she should be put on a pedestal as an artist. She's a dope person. And her marketing has been amazing. And how controversial, how energetic. The energy she brings to hip hop is refreshing.
Yo, I love her. But I love what she does, for sure.
I think there's, and this is a bigger issue. I think we need, as a hip hop consumer, to stop judging things. Like, I'm tired of people telling me this slaps as opposed to telling me this is a good song. Like, I get it. Stuff slap. A bunch of songs on that album slaps. Fine. But that doesn't mean it's a good song. It means it slaps. And I think she just has a whole bunch of stuff that slaps. That's it.
That's it. Hey, we should have that conversation one day on maybe another podcast. But like, sure, the difference between a lot of people, a song being a song slapping and it being good. Because I would actually argue, and you may or may not disagree with this. You may agree. I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. But Gunna to me, right? Gunna to me, especially on his last album, Wanna. First and foremost, he makes a lot of music that grows on you. Like, it's very hard to listen to a Gunna album or even a song and just be blown away, like, immediately. A lot of his music grows on you over time. And to me, that is the mark of a good song, a song that leans more towards it being well produced, well crafted. We understand the content may not be very constructive, but it's music that is actually well packaged and well put together. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what, and I'm using him as an example. I feel like that's somebody who gets a bad rap. Gunna's music is actually pretty good. Yes, some of his music slaps, a lot of it doesn't actually. Like, he makes a lot of music that is a very slow grower. It's you'll recognize it in a month. Damn, man, I really like that song. Shit. Whoa. It's not very immediate. I feel like the song that Megan Thee Stallion put out with Young Thug, what was the shit called? Don't Stop?
Yeah, pop that.
To me, that's one of them joints that, like, yes, when you first hear it, you're gonna be like, oh, okay, whoa. But then after the second, third time, you're just like, eh, this song is not that good. It's just not.
It doesn't move the needle. Like, what it does is it's gimmicky. And I, once again, I'm not trying to trash gimmicky music. I think gimmicky music is needed. But gimmicky, like, is good. But here's the thing. When you talk about the Lil Uzi Verse of the world, I can't believe I'm saying that. The Gunners of the world, the Young Thugs of the world, the J. Coles of the world, they are not making gimmicky music. They are making bodies of work that challenge the norm. Megan Thee Stallion is making bodies of work that are just electrifying the norm. It just makes it a little more electrifying. So that's just me, my humbling opinion. Kudos to her. She's been very impressive, very impressive. But
go ahead. My bad.
I said, we're not the biggest fans of the album, but I get it.
Yeah, nah, it's just, you know, usually I always end off by saying maybe it'll grow on me. I don't think this will. I don't. But hey.
You got to hear it. You got to hear it in the club. Listen to it.
Listen, man. That's when you know. That is a thing. That is a thing. So, no, it won't grow on me. Nah, it won't. Nope. But yo, shout out to Megan, man. Listen.
Yes, sir. Sir.
Respectfully speaking, this is all this is.
Yes, sir.
Let's move on though, man. That was a good little deep dive on Megan Thee Stallion, but we got other shit to talk about, man. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. What happened to skills and interludes is our next topic.
Hey, skits, man. What are you doing?
Sorry, skits. I can't read, man. This damn mac and cheese done distorted my eyesight. What happened to skits and interludes? This is actually a topic that you came up with. I want to figure out which direction you were going with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, you know, we talked about it a little bit before the show started, right? I saw a recent interview that, I read a recent interview that Busta Rhymes did for Hot New Hip Hop, if I'm not mistaken. And he was basically talking about how his new album was long overdue, right? The one that just came out recently that had that Kendrick Lamar feature. It had a whole bunch of other dope music on it. Matter of fact, you reviewed it, didn't you? You liked it, didn't you? I can't remember.
It was so-so?
Yeah. I didn't make my way through the whole album, but nonetheless.
25 tracks.
Yeah, that was crazy. I'm not doing it. especially with Busta Rhymes. I can't. Not in 2020. I'm just being real. so he brought up an interesting statement slash topic for me where he was talking about how hip hop, the difference between how where hip hop was when he was growing up, right? Where he took off as a rapper versus where the game is now. And he, you know, which I think more of the older artists need to do. Like he actually gave a lot of credit to the younger artists and how they are trying to shift the sound of rap and hip hop. You know, obviously we do a lot of that. We talk a lot about that on this show. And it was interesting to me to hear somebody like Busta Rhymes, who is now an elder statesman in the game, actually acknowledge how, even though he may not understand some of the younger music, that's exactly what they did to Busta Rhymes when he was a kid. They didn't know, a lot of the old dudes didn't understand him, but yeah, he made a name for himself. He created an audience. He made history. He did a lot of things in his heyday, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. But why I'm bringing up this topic is because he also mentioned how even not only has the sound of music changed, but even the way albums are structured, even that has changed. You know, you look at the fact that when we talk about hip hop albums, a lot of it consisted of skits. A lot of it consisted of a lot of interludes, traditional intros and outros. Like even the way the album was structured was just so different back then versus where things are today. And you see artists over the years try to be consistent or try to stick true to how things were put together in the past, but not do it quite like it was. I look at people like, and by the way, I'm not just sticking to hip hop per se, but just some of the new school guys. Bryson Tiller, he's somebody who is intent to have interludes. You know, you look at Kendrick Lamar, right? Kendrick Lamar stay with a goddamn skit. He stayed with a skit infused into an actual song, a consistent theme. Think about any of the rappity rap dudes that you have loved over the years, whether we talking about Wu-Tang, whether we talking about people within Rockefeller, Dipset, all of these dudes. And again, I'm kind of going back a little bit, and it ain't that far. But just to see how albums have been structured historically versus where they are today, that shit has changed drastically. Now dudes is putting out 25 straight songs and expecting us to have the mental capacity to be engaged throughout a 25 song album. Like that's crazy to me. And to me, and while we do it because we review albums, your average person is not listening to a 25 long project. I mean, look at Chris Brown. He dropped two 50 song albums damn near. I think the first one was like 35 songs. The second one was 50. I can't remember, but it was a lot of fucking songs. Your average person is not listening to the album. That to me just, it screams of the drastic changes that have happened with just music. So I'm not just keeping this simply with hip hop per se, but I do think it's interesting, even in recent history, you know, some of the albums that we've considered classics were very concise and they told a story. Those were some of the consistent themes that we've noticed over time. You know, when we talk about, I talk about Kendrick a lot. Matter of fact, you and I, we argued about Kendrick Lamar a lot last episode. And what does he do a lot? Why are three of his albums that he's come out with considered, like arguably considered classic if they're not undeniable? It's not only because of the talent that he possesses. It's not only because of the music that he comes with and how it resonates with people. It's also the fact that you get that and then you infuse that with an actual story that's being told throughout a consistent body of work. And I think that's what's missing in music right now. Like a lot of artists are not packaging their music and telling a story. It's just a bunch of songs they compiled. Oh, let me just put that out. I'm calling it an album. Like it lacks that type of touch that music used to have back in the day. That I think if a new artist were to just simply have that type of intention now, still make all them damn songs that you were already gonna do, but A&R a little better, you know, come up with an actual theme, you know, put out a skit, maybe put out an interlude, give people and package it in a way that people can really feel like, yo, damn, like that was an experience. I think music would be a lot more, I think, impactful, for real, for real. I really do.
I mean,
what do you think about that?
I'm not gonna lie. I always skipped skits growing up. Like we had the traditional CDs like Jay-Z, DMX. I always skipped it. Like I mean,
you tripping. That was always something I never. When I heard the album for the first time, I never skipped it. Never. Now when I revisit the album after I already know the album, I'm skipping the skits. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, interlude.
Absolutely.
Interlude almost felt like a commercial break from the album, where like, yo, we just gave you 5 or 6 straight bangers. All right, take this little commercial break, because you know there's no set structure for an interlude. There's no set structure for outro. Like an interlude doesn't have to mean that it's somebody talking. It doesn't have to mean that it's a short song. An interlude could be anything that you want it to be. And so, like, in today's day and age, I personally don't think that interludes are super duper necessary, just because flow, the way an album flows, matters. And a lot of the albums are a lot shorter. They're about 11, 13 tracks. Putting an interlude there might disrupt the flow of how an album flows. I think that is the reason why there's not that many, but I'm actually okay with no interludes and no skits, no outro. Remember, there was always an intro, interlude, outro. I'm actually okay with that, especially if your heart's not in it. Like, however, if it's an album that tells a story, sort of like how Kendrick Lamar's album tells a story, I think it's pretty dope to put an interlude on there. A lot of people are also even putting interludes at the ends of songs, but to me, I don't miss it. It's as strange as that sounds, I don't miss it. You on mute.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm not mad at that, man. And I'm not even actually saying that you should miss it. It's more so me recognizing that, look at how much music has changed. And also the creative artists still kind of do it in a way. Look at the album that St. John put out. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit, right? Yeah, of course, he doesn't have a traditional intro. He doesn't have a traditional outro. Doesn't even have a traditional interlude. As a matter of fact, I would argue that if you're really listening to the album, you can actually hear interludes. It's just not called an interlude. Like, you can hear breaks in the album, little parts within the way the song starts, the way the song ends. And this is kind of what I'm talking about. So I think artists have switched up the way they're doing it. They switched up the way it's advertised, the way it's packaged, but the great artists are still kind of doing it. Like, not all of them, but they're still kind of doing it. It hasn't quite gone away completely. It's just not being called out like it was before. Like, I used to hate when artists used to have a song and it was called intro, and they have a song where it's called outro. It's like, bro, you have 4 albums in a row that's called intro. How do I know? Back in the day, you remember before, like we could actually sort things like we can now. It's like, damn, DMX got 2 songs that's called intro prayer. It's like, damn, which one is the one from the album I like? Fuck.
Yeah.
Damn it.
True. That is.
That's
true.
Kind of annoying, man. It's like, dudes have gotten more creative these days, the way they're actually packaging
it. Intros and interludes are songs now.
It's songs, right?
Like they'll call it like such and such intro, and it's an actual real song.
Or they may not even call it an intro at all, but you can, an intro just normally has this type of feel to it where you can feel that it's an actual intro.
I mean, like Meek Mill kind of started that, making it super duper popular to have a dope ass intro. It's funny because majority of the albums that I rate, the intro is one of the top 5 songs. Majority of the albums, intro song. So I think it's imperative of how your album starts. But like, I can't see music going back to the days where the album starts with an intro that somebody's talking, outro where it ends with somebody talk. I can't see that anymore. Like that those days, long gone.
I don't want that anymore. I think my biggest thing, for real, my biggest thing with these artists, and listen, everybody's different. But I think there's still a place for artists telling stories, bro. I don't give a fuck. You can be the most trappist dude. Like, dude, think about, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. You know who tells stories that in the most unorthodox way, but he's still a storyteller and he packages his music well? Young Dolph. You listen to Young Dolph's music, right? Think about when he got shot up, right? Remember when he got shot up in LA years ago? He came out with an album called like 500 Shots or some shit like that. I can't remember the whole name, but he told a story. He actually told a concise story about how he got shot and that the dudes don't want to do anything. Listen, as crazy as that sounds, I don't care what the content is. Just tell a story. It always makes the music better. I'm telling you. It always makes the music better.
YG does it too.
YG does it. They all do it.
It makes it more of a classic album.
Makes it more thematic.
You have a better opportunity to make a classic album if you have intros, interludes.
Look at 21 Savage and Metro Boomin with Savage Mode 2.
No, that was tight.
They're attempting to tell a thematic story. Of course, they got one of the best to ever do, if not the best voice that you could possibly get to tell a goddamn story. And they got Morgan Freeman.
Exactly.
That was, like, get creative with it. This is what I'm talking about. Like, get creative, dog.
That was epic.
And for real, while, you know, we talked about that album and I didn't think the album was that great. One of the highlights for me was Morgan Freeman being on the goddamn album. Like, that should tell you how important like breaks in the album still can be. You can still create a moment where if you do it right, it will actually hit. It'll hit.
That's true. That's a good point.
So anyway, I've done enough talking on that subject, man. Let's move on.
Yes, sir.
I'll kick this one to you, man. So let's get into a couple album reviews, man. We teased this a little bit a few minutes ago. St. John dropped a new project, a.k.a. Ghetto Lenny. Some of you guys may know him as that. Some of you guys may know him as Roses Iman Beck. He dropped a new album called While the World Was Burning. Man, what a title. I have a lot to say about this, but I want to hear your thoughts first, man. What'd you think about the album?
Thoughts?
What'd you think about the album? What? I didn't even say thoughts. I said think. Why are you throwing that in? I see where your mind is at.
No, you said thoughts. You said thought.
Oh, but, I did.
It's funny, me and you are like St. John stans. I think more so you than me. I'm not as vocal about how good I think St. John is, but I've always felt like St. John is the truth. St. John, his last album, I think is nothing less than a B+. And I think personally, this album is nothing less than a B+. Personally, probably a B+, but nothing less than a B+. St. John to me is somebody that you can tell wants to be great. Now, everybody wants to be great, right? Like, everybody wants to be the next MJ. Everybody wants to be the next whatever, whoever the greatest president of all time is. Everybody wants to be great. But are you putting in the work to be great? Are you doing certain things that make you great? Out of all the people that I hear in music today, St. John is one of the few people that I think actually does things in his music that are great. Like, if you listen to his new album, While the World Was Burning, which is a dope-ass title, he doesn't only create melodies that are catchy, that are infectious. He goes overboard with the infectiousness of his melodies. He doesn't just talk about stuff that your average trap rapper talks about. He goes overboard with how he talks about it. And then also the way he sings. He doesn't sing like your average rapper that knows how to sing or a singer that knows how to sing. He sounds godly. Like, he gives the great experience to the listeners. Like, he gives you an experience that's out of this worldly. And throughout this album, that's what I just heard. I heard it. Now, I understand you guys. There was nothing out of this worldly about Monica Lewinsky. What the hell? Like, the baby is just rapping on there. A Boogie with the Hoodie is just rapping on there. How he packaged that song, how he hit us with a hook that is unbelievably catchy is next level. How he's able to just continuously hit you with next level songs on an album. Like, you constantly say to yourself, how is he going to top this next song? Then he tops it. Like, to me, St. John, and he's great, but I do know people are not appreciating him the way that he should be appreciated. Like, I thought it was weird. I thought it was very weird. His first album came out, and do you know what I felt like I was doing? I'm looking around the room like this. Like, yo, y'all ain't hearing this? Y'all ain't hearing this? I'm looking on social media. Y'all ain't hearing what I just heard? I heard, like, one of the greatest albums I've just heard in my damn life. Are y'all hearing this? So when the first album went by, I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe my standards are very low, and I hear this guy's album, and something's wrong with my ears. Let's see what he does next. He drops Roses. People love Roses. I'm like, oh, for sure. People are going to love this album. For sure. They love Roses. He's now somebody that's real popular because of Roses. They're going to soak this album up. I found myself doing the same thing again. I'm looking around like, yo, where's the buzz? I understand Megan Thee Stallion just came out. Cool. I understand The Recession just came out. Cool. You guys go listen to those other albums and come back to St. John and realize how great it is. It's not there. This is troubling to me. And that's what I'm going to tell you right now. Not you, but the world. Please appreciate St. John, because what he is doing is on the level. Remember, I gave Lil Uzi Vert credit. I said Lil Uzi Vert. Somebody else said the same thing about. Lil Uzi Vert takes what everybody else is doing and takes it to another level. St. John is doing the same exact thing. But his level of appreciation compared to Lil Uzi Vert's level of appreciation is not even close. Please, let's appreciate St. John. Please. That's all I got to say.
Look, man. Good take. You know, I'm gonna pick up right where you just left off, because I will agree with you as well. It is troubling to me how undercovered St. John is. And look, I'll be real. I'm sitting back waiting. I've been sitting back waiting for about a year now since he dropped Ghetto Lenny's Love Songs, which, by the way, that album is incredible. Clearly, it was so incredible that he decided to remix three songs from that project and put it on this new one, right? But, you know, listen, if you're somebody who just found out about St. John, go back and listen to the other ones. Like, I can actually make a legitimate argument that if you fuck with High School Reunion, Prom featuring Lil Uzi Vert, you will be blown away by the original. That was one of my favorite joints from the last project. And so he remixed that one. He also remixed Monica Lewinsky, threw on the Baby A Boogie. That was another one that was also one of my favorite ones from the last project. Had A Boogie on it, but he had a different verse. Incredible verse A Boogie put up. There was another one, Roses. You talked about it. Like, I was prepared to come in here today and put on my St. John cape because, by the way, yeah, I might be a bigger fan of St. John than you. I actually went to Montreal to see him live in concert. Like, I have never been to Montreal, period. And I said to myself, fam, I gotta go to a St. John concert. I looked at his tour. Damn, he just missed DC. Where's his next one around my birthday? Arizona. Nah, I don't feel like going to Arizona. Montreal. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to Montreal. Like, I don't go anywhere to go chase any dude down. And I'm telling you right now, I was prepared to come in here and really, like, put on a cape for St. John. But I just feel like I have faith in you guys. You guys. That you guys will step out of your senses and just understand that this dude's music is so next level that you will be regretting that you didn't see it earlier. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy to me. I don't know about you, Q, but I'm one of the people that, like, you know, when, and it sounds like you are, but like when I really like something, I'll go searching around. I want to see what everybody else is talking about, right? Like, I want to see what people on Twitter are talking about. I want to see what the YouTube comments under his videos talking about. I want to go look at reaction videos. I want to go see, like, yo, are people even talking about this album? What are they saying? And it was alarming to me that this man's music is not even being acknowledged. And I'm like, huh? So it begs a different question to me. Because if you and I are both saying, yo, this music is so next level, why is it that he's not being covered? Is it still too early for St. John? Would you say that? Or do you think it's something bigger? Like, in other words, could it be the Christian approach, the seemingly blasphemous images that he seems to be presenting with his not a cult, you know, the cross? I don't think that has anything to do with it, but I've seen people say that. Like, what do you think that is the reason why he has not ascended to the level in which you and I feel like he actually should be at?
I think, I will say this. I think St. John's not relatable. He's not a relatable person at all. Even content-wise, I love St. John. I enjoy listening to his music. I can't relate to a single thing he says in the music. But we watch Star Wars, right? We can't relate to Star Wars, and people love Star Wars. We watch all these science fiction stuff, and we love it. But I think hip-hop has now become a relating game. Like, if you can relate to that artist, their look, whatever, then you get more love. He is, I repeat, when it comes to his look, when it comes to how he moves weird too. When it comes to the melodies, everything he does is like not relatable. Like,
it's unorthodox.
I love St. John, but I don't think I would want to be his friend just the way he moves. Like, I don't think like we can just get a drink at the bar. Like, to me, he just seems like, he almost seems like Batman. Like, he seems like a hip hop Batman, where he just has this darkness to him, this like antisocial.
That's crazy you say that. Awkward. He's like a character almost, isn't he?
He's like a character. He's like a character, a dark character.
Now,
that's what the problem is, honestly.
Now, that's funny you say that, because I as you're saying that, I'm thinking of other people who I believe are characters that people really love. To me, Travis Scott is a character, not in a like extreme way. I just mean his whole presentation, like the way he moves, his videos, his presentation. You know, it was fitting to me that he put out that album called Rodeo, where he was standing on top of the monster truck and he was like an action figure. That is like a perfect depiction of who I believe, or how I believe people view Travis Scott. They look at him like he's an action hero, like he's an action character. And that's an interesting observation. I never thought about that. St. John is that type as well. But it's interesting to me how Travis Scott is heavily revered and heavily loved. And you got somebody that's dark and who is
and
who
is not,
walks the and, walks and, the line of and blasphemy
is, with and imagery. Is not loved. He's not loved. No, I mean, here's another thing too. Hip hop is always about cosigns, right? Travis Scott was cosigned by Kanye. Travis Scott was working with T.I. Travis Scott was well known in the hip hop industry. His come up was like through affiliations with Quavo, affiliations with whole rack of people. St. John's affiliated to nobody. St. John is just a dude that just does his own thing. He doesn't continuously work with the same people. Like, he just moves very, very weird. And I think that because you know what happens is Travis Scott gets popular because people are like, man, I've been vouching for Travis Scott. I like the dude. I don't think you can say the same thing about St. John. When he gets popular, you're just kind of like, oh, there goes that guy that's getting popular now. That's it. Like, you don't...
I don't know, man.
You don't feel... Like, I don't think people feel happy for him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's something
it's
missing.
Weird. It's very weird.
There's something missing. However, again, if we judge in the music, I'm here to say this all day, and I will continue to say it. Musically speaking, St. John is just ahead of a lot of these people. Oh, he's ahead.
He's ahead.
Not even close for a lot of these dudes.
Next level. There's only a few people in the hip-hop industry that makes next level music. He is one of the few people that makes next level music. So
yeah,
please listen to him, please.
Hey, we'll see if they do, man. I don't think people care. I think they should care. We will see if he blows up. I believe he's starting to get a little bit of traction. I've been seeing the publicity go a little bit more like aggressive towards promoting him. And I've been like, what the hell? Like, he's on this, he's on that. What the hell? What? Oh shit. So it seems like he's going to ascend. We'll see how big he gets. But again, if we're talking about music, this ain't a discussion.
He should be
bigger. St. John is that dude.
I don't know if you know. I don't know how many units he sold. I don't know what his...
I have no idea.
They didn't even show it. They didn't even care to show it. And that to me is weird.
That's not a good sign.
Jeezy. They showed Megan Thee Stallion. I'm like, I don't even know. For neither of his albums, not this one or his past one.
That's a fact. That's not a good sign. And actually, you said, and I'll say this last right before I get up out of here, but you just said that he's not affiliated with any artists, and that's true. What's interesting about St. John is I recognize and just understand a little bit of his story and through interviews and shit like that. He is actually managed by Biggs, the dude who is one third of Rockefeller. He is actually affiliated through a lot of dudes, but he's not aligned with a particular artist per se, which is kind of what you're talking about. Like, who is the cosign artistically that's being like, yo, go fuck with this person? Kind of like what Rick Ross did to Meek Mill. You know, like, who is the guy that's like, yo, check him out?
Is that like
that helps a lot? That helps a lot.
Literally, think about all the people that are popular right now. Think about all the people that are popular. Like, Young Thug was affiliated with a bunch of people that were co-signing Young Thug. Gunna, co-signed by a bunch of people. Lil Uzi Vert, co-signed by a bunch of people. Like, who else? Travis Scott, co-signed by a bunch of people. You know, Megan Thee Stallion was co-signed by a few people here and there. Like, it's he don't really got no co-signs, which is interesting.
You shall see if that hurts him or not. But yeah, let's move on, man. Good topic.
The baby dropped My Brother's Keeper, Long Live G. That is a deep EP. It came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it at all. And I thought it was a good EP. What do you think about it?
Yeah, this is one of them projects from DaBaby that I actually really, really enjoyed. The thing about DaBaby that I think everybody has realized over time is that we have been waiting for DaBaby to really give us a different sound, which I think he has since done, ever since people started complaining. You notice how the things that people used to complain about DaBaby about, you don't hear those rumblings anymore. DaBaby keeps rapping the same. Oh, DaBaby keeps saying that he the same flow. And then he came out with Rockstar and everybody shut the fuck up. And then he came out with Blind and everybody shut the fuck up. And then he came out with, what's that other joint called? Practice. Like, there's a lot of songs that he switched up on his last project, which was called what was the name of that joint? The last album, the actual album. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, regardless of the name, y'all know what I'm talking about. He was sitting on the damn, Blame It On Baby. It's not
Blame It On Baby. Blame It On
Baby. Blame It On Baby. Blame It On Baby. So he dropped that during quarantine. It consisted of Rockstar. I think all of the concerns that people had about the baby are gone. And I think that the baby has now settled into where it feels like he wants to be musically. Like, some of these songs really, really are good, man. Like, some of my favorite songs on this project are Gucci Peacoat, which I thought was a really deep song, catchy as well, about how he was talking about his experiences of trying to get people to vote in his hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? He was working the polls wearing a Gucci Peacoat. Meanwhile, his brother had just committed suicide. And so that's who he means when he says long live G, he's talking about his brother. I thought the song it was just so catchy, but the baby finally gave us more than just a verse or more than just one song full of the introspection that I think always is going to set an artist apart from the pack. You know, when you start dealing with, a rapper, you know, it's one thing to talk about the trap. It's one thing to talk about the violence. It's one thing to talk about all the things that everybody expects you to talk about. But when you're able to talk about real things that are affecting your real life and make it come to life like he did in such a short amount of time on this EP, bro, I'm impressed. Like, I didn't set out to really love this project, but digesting it, it really hit me in a good way. Like I said, I like Gucci Peacoat. I like the intro, Brother's Keeper. I like the last song, More Money, More Problems. I like the song Handgun with No Cap and Polo G. I like the song Shania. Like, I think I damn near like every song except for the song featuring Tusi called Business. And I don't even like the one with Meek Mill. I'm not a fan of that joint. But all in all, like I said, a short project. Rest in peace to his brother, man. I know, man, it sounded like that really hurt him. And you can hear it in the music. And for somebody like the baby who was so aggressive in his music to tap into those type of emotions and sound authentic, yo, you got to give it up. Not only for that, but the fact that I think he delivered on the music. So I like it. I thought it was a good project.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going to go a different angle with this whole thing. Obviously, I think the project is decent. It's pretty solid, I would say. But the growth that the baby has shown, I don't think gets enough credit. While I was trying to look for the name of the album, Blame It On Baby, I just kind of went through the baby's catalog. And on Apple Music, the baby's catalog goes far back. It's 2017 with the album called Billion Dollar Baby. From 2017 to he blew up about 2019, right? Would you say like he blew up about 2019?
I would say the top of 2019, the top.
Maybe the top
or spring, right? When he dropped Suge. No, Blame It On Baby came out 2019.
Yeah.
But it was around March, April, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah.
To me, I think it's pretty astonishing to a lot of these artists have to go from nobody cared about me, literally in 2017, Billion Dollar Baby, nobody was talking about me, nobody was messing with me, to about 2 years later, I'm on a Dua Lipa song. I am on every single person that is Poppin's album. I am nominated for a Grammy. Just 2 years ago, nobody cared about my music. Like, I don't think we talk about what that does to your mental. You start not trusting people. Your life is now put in the damn media for people to see every single second. You get criticized for things that I did in the past. And now you're talking about, oh, your flows are old. Oh, you need to switch things up. Oh, you rap over the same beat. Like what the baby has had to experience in the last 3 to 4 years is nothing short of crazy. And so what I find so interesting about this album is, for one of the first times, I actually cared about what he was saying. Like, when Da Baby came out with his first album back in 2017, do you think people cared about what he was saying? Do you think people cared about his life? Da Baby has now become somebody that you actually care what he has to say. You actually care about his personal life. You have to actually care about what he's going through. And for one of the first times, because he did it on Blame It On Baby too, or not Blame It On Baby. He also did it on Kirk. Remember, he dropped like 3-4 albums in 1 year or in less than 2 years. On Kirk, he really got personal.
And on the intro.
On the intro, right? He's talking about his father that passed, which is crazy. In 3 years, he blew up. His father passed. His brother passed. And people are telling you to switch your flow up. Like, so much stuff. Things are going to miles. And for him to still put out a body of work that was still continuing to show that he's still trying to grow as a human being, as an artist, and for him to be cared about to this level is astonishing to me. Like, forget the grade. C, B, whatever the hell you want to give it. I don't care about the grade. I'm more astonished at what he was able to do with that album, the purpose behind that album, and the fact that, damn, we care this much about this dude. We actually care about his well-being while listening to the album. It's everybody wants to talk, you know, it's funny. Everybody wants to talk about what the American dream looks like, right? Everybody wants to talk about the American dream is you have a nice house, you have a dog, you're making good money, you have a wife and kids and such and such and such. Why isn't this the American dream? A dude that 2-3 years ago was not cared about to a point where now he's the biggest dude, now got a Grammy nominated. Like, it's astonishing. His career can stop right now, and he had a successful career, point blank period. I don't think enough people give him credit for that.
Yeah, that's real. That's real, man. I mean, I agree with everything you just said, man. And like I said before, man, rest in peace to his brother and his dad and all the people that lost someone, man. Like, you know, that to me was like the biggest thing. You know, it was like, damn, for somebody to have lost someone close to him and like still be making music, to me, that shows you the power of music. Because while one person can be like, look at him trying to profit off of his own pain, why are you making music talking about your brother? You want to sell album? Like, I've heard people make these type of claims, and while I think they're stupid, I think everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Like, I understand why people are saying that, but I just think it's crazy to be able to muster up the artistic and the creativity that it takes to drop a project. Not a song, not two songs, like a project covering the subject, man. It takes, number one, it takes a lot of hurt. It takes a lot of deep dive introspection. It takes a lot of courage, man. So shout out to him, man, because like I said, the project was actually good. But even if it wasn't,
I was gonna say personally, I think that's an interesting point. I just wanted to say I think it's somebody that like wants to keep going. Like, you know, you don't want to mourn. Like, you want to keep going. You want to keep this wave going. Which, you know, I get that. And I just hope that he finds the proper time to mourn, like, properly, you know? So that's just my opinion. I mean, this could also be a way of mourning for him. So,
you can't really tell people how to mourn, right? People tried to tell Tory Lanez that he couldn't put out music, expressing his own side of the, and I know this is a completely different subject, but I believe when you're dealing with musicians, we're dealing with people who truly look at this like art. It's a form of expression. Music can be therapy for a lot of people. So Listen, man, if this was his therapy, more power to him.
Like, I have respect. Yeah, man. I have respect for what he was able to do.
Yeah, he got a lot of respect for me. He really did.
He's one of the real ones. Like, he's one of the real ones in the industry.
100%, man. On that note, man, listen, we've talked a lot. We've discussed a lot. We've ranted a lot. We've been ill-advised summertime, not a lot. Anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you stayed this long, if you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Give us a subscribe. You already know the brands. Q, you wearing a shirt. Dream Vision Network. Ratings Game Music. The Ill-Advised Wise Guys podcast is in a eardrum near you. Hopefully in yours. Subscribe if you have not always. We appreciate everybody for the support. Follow us on Twitter. And as always, because I've done a lot of talking, if you're giving advice, make sure it is ill.
Peace out.
Bow.